This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, hoarding is the compulsive purchasing, acquiring, searching, and saving of items that have little or no value. The behavior usually has negative effects, emotional, physical, social, financial, and even legal, for a hoarder and family members. For those who hoard, the quantity of their collected items sets them apart from the other people.
It's estimated that up to 1 in 20 people in Greater Victoria, British Columbia, is directly affected by hoarding. The region's Hoarding Education and Action Team, known as HEAT, was created in 2012 to provide comprehensive services for those afflicted and impacted by hoarding. The HEAT team includes a long list of collaborative partners, including the Victoria and Saanich Fire Departments, Island Health, the SPCA, Municipal Services, concerned nonprofit organizations, landlords, volunteers, and private decluttering services. Local fire departments are frequently the first point of contact for hoarding issues, but their effectiveness can be hampered by the complexity of hoarding situations.
Dr. Eric Ox is a registered psychologist and a clinical consultant for the Victoria-based HEAT team. Kevin spoke with him earlier this week.
Hoarding disorder is considered to be a mental illness. Tell us more about how that diagnosis is made.
The truth is, a lot of these folks don't actually ever make it into a formal diagnostic process. If we were to do it, however, we'd use the DSM-5, criteria, and there's really three essential criteria that we try to understand and before we make a diagnosis, and that is that there is an excessive amount of staff or clutter in the home. So if you see the place is really getting crowded, so that's noticeable. That's one thing that might, get you going on the diagnostic process. And then the second one is folks can't seem to manage the stuff and get rid of things again. Things pile up, they can't get rid of it. And finally, the key piece is, is it leading to distress? Maybe not. Or some kind of impairment in function. And the way I would describe that would be if you went into the home and you saw the stuff, and then you went into the kitchen, and you could see that it hadn't been used in months or possibly even years, that would be a definite impairment in function. You couldn't use the kitchen, so that's a problem. Maybe it's the bedroom. No one can sleep in the bedroom because there's no bed anymore. It's buried under stuff. Or perhaps it's the bathroom. The person's using the public facility nearby, and they can't use their own washroom. And these all represent various forms of risks to people's well-being, but fundamentally the idea is their capacity to use their space is impaired. They may or may not be upset about it.
What are the reasons for somebody to take up hoarding behaviors in a general sense?
Yeah, no, that's a million-dollar question. I'll start very broadly. You could ask the question about any of our diagnoses, depression, anxiety, etc., psychosis. Why do people end up with this problem, whatever it is? And, the short answer is, well, it's complicated and we don't actually really know. There are a few times where you can say, well, it looks like this event led to this problem. But in mental health, unlike, more broadly physical health issues, and even there it gets complicated sometimes, I think, we don't have a simple answer. So we have a complicated answer. And since I have a bit of time to yak, I can say, we use what's called a biopsychosocial model. That's a real mouthful. So there's biology, there's psychology, there's history, there's culture, and factors from all of those realms come together, and in some folks with, perhaps a vulnerability or just overload scenario, they end up developing problems, mental health problems, so people can get depressed or people can develop a hoarding disorder. Interestingly enough, hoarding hasn't been on the radar of mental health folks, except as a symptom until recently. DSM-5, which is our latest edition of the diagnostic manual, now lists hoarding disorder as its own entity. It's a thing. It's very own thing. So we recognize it as a diagnosis, not just as a symptom of something else. But the larger issue is, of course, why do people end up with this particular problem? And I think it's fair to say a couple things about that. People will develop this problem when they just acquire things, and for a long time it won't be a problem. they'll have things and things pile up, but it's not a big deal. Things are a bit messy, but that's, you know, not causing any big problems. But as the decades roll on, what can happen is the problem can tip from being a nuisance to being a danger to the person's well-being. And the degree to which people see that happening is, of course, variable. Sometimes people are very well aware, oh boy, this is a mess, I'm not letting anybody in my house. Other times people think, you know, everything's fine. You know, it's their life, they got their stuff, they like their stuff, and no one's going to mess with it. You know, we talk about insight into the problem, and some people have some, and many people with this particular mental health diagnosis don't see it for what it is. And that, of course, I think has led over time to the problem being not noticed, not diagnosed, not even in the diagnostic manual until recently, a couple of years now.
What does the treatment for hoarding disorder look like?
We're now getting better at recognizing the existence of the problem, and of course that leads naturally to what do you do about it? You can take kind of two general approaches to treating mental health problems, and you know, generally you have two general approaches. Take medications. There are some good medications for mental health problems, and there are other mental health problems that respond better to what's called talk therapy or psychotherapy or some counseling, you know, words to that effect. So in other words, you talk to somebody about your problems and you come up with plans and interventions and things to do that will make the problem get better, perhaps even go away entirely. In the area of hoarding, my take on the literature is sort of a psychologist's take, so I have a bit of bias there. My read is that there really is no medication that will help. There simply isn't any good evidence to support the use of medications to treat hoarding disorder. However, sometimes people come with more than one set of issues, and you can treat some of the comorbidities. So if a person's also depressed or also anxious, which can be a large number of people, actually, you can treat those parts of the problem with medicine, psychopharmacology, as it's called, and it can be quite effective, but you're still left with the problem of hoarding to deal with. So what do we have? It's kind of early days in terms of evidence-based practice. However, there are researchers out there like Randy Frost who've put together treatment manuals. I think the best one out there is called Buried in Treasures. That's a book that's readily available. That book outlines what's called a cognitive behavior therapy intervention. A lot of people have heard of cognitive behavior therapy, the idea that you look at what people are thinking and the behaviors they engage in and how that affects their emotional lives and therefore symptoms and so on, and try to come up with a strategy to address the hoarding. So there is a fairly detailed intervention for hoarding disorder now, and it's described in a few places. Buried in Treasures is one sort of good one. Basically, it takes a long time. It's not a simple problem to fix just like that. Not that any of the mental health problems are terribly simple, but some are more rapidly addressed than others. If you're treating a spider phobia, you know, arachnophobia, that can go pretty quickly. Panic attacks or panic disorder can go reasonably quickly. Hoarding took a long time to develop for most people, and it takes a little while to come to grips with it. And to be really straightforward about it, we don't really have a cure. What we have are some really good interventions that help to manage the problem, with the sort of the ultimate goal is harm reduction. We don't want folks who have stuff taking over their life to have it, you know, endangering their life. So we try to intervene if we can to mitigate the risks, reduce the risks, and keep people relatively safe. So it's harm reduction, not a cure that we can offer at this point.
Now, Eric, when I was preparing for this interview, I came across estimates of numbers of people who are involved in hoarding or have hoarding behaviors in the Greater Victoria area. How have these numbers been estimated, and how does this information come to light, so to speak?
Well, and you may have run into my estimates in that little process, and there may be others out there, too. Basically, you know, when folks do epidemiological surveys and such and try to figure out what's out there in the world, there's been a number of studies like that done over the last, I don't know, 15 years. I've looked at all of those, I think. And what I find intriguing is in the early days, like 2002, I think Barlow, who's a pretty well-known cognitive behavior therapy guy, researcher, professor, et cetera, very, very well respected, he came up with a number of 2%. And I thought, wow, that's you know, that's a big problem. We got 2% of the population that's grappling with this. And then I kept reading, you know, more and more of these kinds of attempts to estimate the prevalence of the problem. And the most recent numbers I get range from a low of 2% to a high of 6%. And I kind of settled on 5% as my number to go with. So that would be one person in 20 or one home in 20, something like that, across the board in Victoria or anywhere else is affected by this problem. And that's quite staggering because that puts it right up there with the biggest mental health issues that we know of, like depression and anxiety disorders and things, which are very prevalent. We're trying very hard to get the stigma off of those, and we have various programs out there, Let's Talk, et cetera, et cetera. It's great. And yet we have hoarding as a newly minted diagnosis, and it's as big practically as those. And yet it hasn't had any of that discussion and resourcing and an intervention done. You know, if you run those numbers, 5%, 1 in 20, I can come up with, you know, any number of numbers, but you can fill the Save-On Foods Memorial Center here in Victoria a few times over easily with the number of people in Victoria who are experiencing clinically significant, you know, life-affecting hoarding problems or clutter problems, whatever, you know, term you want to use.
Tell us a bit about the HEAT team.
Yeah, and also to follow up on your last question a little bit more, you asked how does this come to light. So the HEAT team came into existence basically because one of the things that was happening is that various organizations in the community were asking me and my colleague, another psychologist, to come around and talk about hoarding. So we had the landlord tenancy branch folks, and then we had, of course, people within the mental health system who are on the front lines, you know, saying, hey, I've got problems with this. What do we do? Or what do we know about it? What can we do? We've got landlords, of course, out there who run into this problem, nonprofit groups. We've got the SPCA, we've got environmental health folks. Of course, the fire department is very interested in this because they're the front line and they often get called in on as first responders, not necessarily a fire, but just some kind of emergency. And they run into this problem. They have to get into these places and they may not be able to safely do that. So all of us decided at one point to get together and talk. And I had great support from one of our coordinator manager type folks in Island Health who spearheaded the development of this group. And invited me onto the team, as it were, and the fire departments, by law enforcement, everybody. And so we've been getting together for about 2 years on a monthly basis as the hoarding education and action team, trying to move from recognition of the problem to having some kind of a streamlined response. So we created a webpage, which is hosted on Island Health. Then there's a phone number, action line, whatever you want to call that. You can leave a message on that anytime, and our fire safety officer folks will check in on that weekdays, Monday to Friday, and see what they can do to help out. So we've tried to create sort of a one point for the island, actually, and for all of Island Health, whereby people can at least say, well, okay, I've got questions about clutter, messes, hoarding, something. What do I do? And what I suggest anybody do is, of course, call that number. It's 250-361-0227. We'll set the ball rolling. Behind that is, of course, fire safety officers, and behind them is the team, and behind that are all the various services in the community that already exist. You know, there is some capacity, of course, in our system as it stands to address some of these needs. I would argue that it's not yet sufficient, and we're working on that, of course, and I think what needs to happen is we all need to, you know, speak the same language, start talking problem solving, and get everybody on the same page. And I think we're making headway there.
Dr. Eric Ox, thank you for taking the time to join us.
You are very welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Dr. Eric Ox is a registered psychologist and a clinical consultant for the Victoria-based Hoarding Education and Action Team. You can find Eric Ox online at oxpsychology.com. And Ox is spelt O-C-H-S. Kevin, a new support group has formed in Victoria for people with hoarding behaviors. What did you find out about that?
Well, Nick, this is a peer support group. It's being held currently once a month at the Saanich Fire Department, 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's on a Wednesday evening, I believe. The first session was held about a week before I spoke with Dr. Ox, and 18 people showed up. There is someone running or helping to run that peer support group who has lived experience with hoarding behaviors. And so that's very helpful for anyone who's going through that. Dr. Oakes told me that they may run more groups and the groups may run more frequently depending on what the demand is. I think the one thing that I want to share once again is the phone number for the HEAT, the Hoarding Education and Action Team, which is 250-361-0227. Anyone who's interested in finding out more about hoarding or anyone who's affected by hoarding can call that number for a consultation of any type.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.